We're going to dig into a good topic tonight. I'm excited about our topic this evening. Our young marrieds are over there. I asked Brother Southern what he's teaching on. He's got a lesson that he teaches every few years. You heard me teach on marriage a few weeks ago, and my lesson is called The Six C's of Marriage. He's got 19 points that takes him half the year to teach. So, I don't know, he has a lot more to say. It sounds like a pretty good lesson to me. But we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll read the first few verses there in Colossians 2. It's good to have brother and sister Alot back with us. Is it not? I thought it was. I'm glad you're back. Your brothers and sisters, they're not that impressed, but everybody's got their Bibles in their hands. We can't clap, but we're glad they're back from Puerto Rico. All right, so Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would, this is Paul writing to the church in Colossia. He says, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. Pardon me, bear with me. There we go. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, he says, so walk ye in him. Get this in verse 6. He says, now there's two things. He says, first of all, you've received him. That's the first part. But he said, it's not enough to receive him. Now he says, you got to walk in this. You got to walk in him. And then verse 7, he says, rooted and built up in him. And established, that means established, in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware. Now, anytime you see in the Bible the word beware, guess what we should do? Beware. That's right. You better pay attention here because there's a warning coming. That's pretty deep right there. That was worth your time coming right there. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, I want you to pay attention here to what Paul is really saying. He says in verse 6, he says, you've received Christ. Now, I'm imploring you, you've got to walk in this. This is a daily thing. So, you know, thank God for that wonderful day when we were saved. But now, after that climactic moment of being baptized and being filled with the Holy Ghost, Brother Bunch, now it's a daily walk, isn't it? It's just a daily walk. And as wonderful as it is to live for the Lord, and it is a great life, to be honest with you, we're not always soaring. We're not always mounting up with wings as eagles. There's a reason why walk comes after mounting up with wings, because there are days when we're mounting up. In fact, when we started this thing, it was a soaring experience, but we don't stay up there all the time, not up in the upper atmosphere. And then he says, and then you're going to walk and you're going to run. Well, actually, he says you're going to run, but then at the end of that progress, he says you're going to walk and not faint. Most of this journey, at least in my experience, is walking. And I thank God for the soaring moments and days, and I love those, and I'll take them anytime. I thank God when I'm able to run. The older I get, the more I appreciate the fact that he included in there walking and not fainting. Amen. So he's saying here, you've accepted Christ, now you've got to walk in him, walk in him, walk in him. My topic tonight is this next word. The first word in verse 7 is what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes. And it's the word rooted, rooted. He says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Those are some good words there. And then he goes on in verse number 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you. So he's talking to people, they've already received Christ, they're walking with Christ, we are rooted, we've got some roots, we've been built up, we've been established. These are not novices that he's speaking to here. These are people, they've been walking in the Lord, they've been in the church, they're born again. They maybe even have some, we used to say, some corn in the crib. Do you know what that means? They've got some fruit, they've been around a while, they're seasoned a little bit. And he even tells them, I would say he especially tells them to beware. Beware. Beware, because it is possible that a man, a personality, could spoil you. Now, that doesn't mean spoil in the sense that we think of our kids being spoiled. This means ruined. That someone would ruin you through philosophy, here we go, and vain deceit after the traditions of men. We've got to be careful. We have separated ourselves from those things initially. We've separated ourselves from those things unto the Lord, and now there is a pull. There is a pull from the world. He says philosophy and vain deceit and the tradition of men. It's just worldly things that would try to draw us away and pull us down. So let me talk to you on this topic of being rooted, being rooted. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and I want to read just a few verses here, but we'll begin at verse number 1. And you're all going to recognize this immediately as what we refer to as the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. Matthew 13, 1 says, the same day went Jesus out of the house he set by the seaside, and a great multitudes. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Here's the parable. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, let me say to most all of us here tonight, I believe, congratulations, you've made it past that part. For at least for our salvific purposes, we've made it past that part. We're saved. Now, every time we're in Bible study like we're in tonight, every time you study the Word of God or you hear the Word of God or you read the Word of God, you're still at risk here of the fowls of the air coming. How many know that before you get home tonight, the enemy of your soul is going to try to snatch away even the seed that is being sown into your heart tonight? Anybody ever experienced that? Listen, I'm the preacher, and I experienced that, okay? I know by the time I get home what God has done in this service tonight, he's going to try to snatch that away, sometimes before you get out the door. And so we've got to guard up against that. But congratulations, at least as far as fruitful purposes go, we've made it past this snatching away of the seed. You received it. You've been born again. He said, and then he said, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And others fell into good ground. Thank God for good ground. And brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. And he goes on to say, whoever has ears, let him hear. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now, we're going to skip down to 19. There's some dialogue going on there between the disciples and Jesus, and some explanation as to why he uses parables. But we're going to get down to where he breaks this down for them. Now, I know we've heard this parable so many times. We can get by with verses 1 through 9. We kind of know what's going on. But that's only because we've read verses 19 through 23. The disciples were a little bit slow to hear this. So he said, let me break this down for you a little more and explain what this parable means. He said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and he catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also, here we go, this is our aim, right? To bear fruit. He hears it, he understands it, and he beareth fruit and bringeth forth different amounts of fruit. Okay, so let me kind of go at this from bottom up and show you that Jesus here says, some brings forth 100, some 60, some 30. Can I start here and tell you that I think sometimes we fixate too much on the fruit. Now, I'm going to qualify that. Don't run off on me here. But we're supposed to have fruit. Yes, we are. But we fixate on the fruit and not enough on the root. Let me tell you, if you go out and buy an apple tree or an orange tree or whatever, and you take that thing home and just set it out in your backyard and expect apples to come up, first of all, apples aren't going to come up if you just set it out in your backyard. Because that thing, first of all, has to be what? It's got to be planted. It's got to be planted in the ground. Somebody's got to get busy, dig a hole, put that thing in the ground, cover it up, and then you've got to do some other things. You've got to tend to it. You've got to make sure it's watered. You've got to make sure it's got all the right nutrients. All those things have to happen. And then the next day, oh, hallelujah, the next day you'll have apples, right? Not the next day. There's a seasonal understanding that we have to have here. And that is that any tree, first of all, an apple tree is going to have to grow for a while. But even when it gets to the fruit-producing age, there's going to be dormancy. And then there's going to be budding, and then there's going to be fruit, and then there's going to be a point where the fruit reaches that point where it's full and perfect and able to be harvested. And then you harvest the fruit in that season. And then guess what? It goes dormant again. And we've got to understand this, that but the first thing that has to happen before there's ever any fruit, this tree has to have roots. So after you plant the tree, something begins to happen. Let's even go away from the tree concept and talk about seeds. When you plant a seed, within that little seed, it's so amazing. It really is. If you have a seed in your hand, you're holding a miracle in your hand. Because in that little bitty seed is built in by God who made it in the first place. All this DNA, all this science, all these things are packed in that little bitty, you can hold it in your hand, but when you open up the ground and drop it in the ground and cover it up, and the rain does its job and the sun does its job, all of a sudden something begins to happen. It doesn't sprout up fruit, it starts sprouting down roots. Before fruit, root. So that thing has to become rooted. It has to form roots. There's a difference between being planted or seed being sown and being rooted. So we can't expect fruit just because it's been planted. It's got to be rooted. What I really want to talk to us about tonight is that rooted aspect. Okay, so he says some's going to have 60, some's 100, some 30 fruit. Thank God for that. Let me just say, if you're bearing fruit at all, rejoice over that. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Well, they've got more fruit, or God's using them in different ways. Just be thankful and thank God every day that you're just, God allowed you to get roots and now you're bearing fruit. And we ought to just thank God for that. Don't get in this comparing business. Well, God uses her in that way, and God uses him in this way. God chooses, and he uses whom he will, how he will, and we don't worry about that. We let God sort that out. Fruit is fruit. Thank God for that. And God, the Lord here does not condemn the 30 fruit or the 60 fruit. He just says, there's going to be different amounts of fruit on different types of trees, and that's okay. Okay, we're going from the ground up here, so let's back up. He says that there is this good ground. That's what brings the fruit, the good ground. That's what we all want to be. We want to be good ground. And then we go on up, and we see these thorns. He says some of it fell among thorns, thorny ground. Now, what happened to that seed? It went into the ground. It did begin to spring up. It did begin to produce fruit. It did get some roots, or it wouldn't have had fruit, right? But the thorns began to grow up around it, and it choked it out. And he says, this is, now watch this here. He says, this is the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, I used to think this meant, in fact, I'll tell you up until about 1 p.m. today, I thought this always meant this is the stresses of this world, the cares of this world, you know, the worries and the stresses. I don't think so much. I think we'll cover that in a minute, but the cares of this world, because he links it to the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, we start caring for the things of this world. We start getting worldly minded. And the deceitfulness of riches is attached to all of that. We start thinking in terms of safety, security of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. Well, Brother Hawkins, what about the stresses of this life? I really believe that's found in this other soil. I think it's found in this area of the wayside soil, where he says, watch this now. He says, he that receiveth verse number 19, anyone that hears the words of the kingdom and understands it not, here comes the wicked one, catches away that which was sown in his heart. It's been sown. This is he which received seed by the wayside. And he that so what happens is, it has a chance. I'm sorry, what are we skipping here? Where are we? 20, bear with me here. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, so we want to go down to 21. He that hath no root in himself, he endures for a while, but here's the tribulation or persecution that comes. These are the stresses of life, okay? Go back. So let's start back up at 19. When anyone hears the word, understands it not, here comes the wicked one. He catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is the wayside seed, okay? He that receives seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it, but he has no root in himself. He endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution comes, here's where I want to get you, is that it's this soil that's in the stony place. He receives it with joy, but he doesn't have root. And this is where I believe the stony ground, I think this is where the stresses of life come into play. He talks about the tribulation or persecution. Tribulation is troubles, it's tests, it's trials. Amen. And so I think this is where we've got the two main risks, the two main threats of our day for us in the church are these. One is the thorns. It's the beginning to care about the things of this world. We're getting a little bit too upset and into the election, let's say, or what's going on the news, or what's going on in the job, or what's going on with our finances, right? And or what's going on with our with all of these things, the cares of this world, and that's the thorns of this world. But the other is this stony ground where it's just not allowed to really spring up too much. And he says these are the tribulations or the persecution. So we've got us, we've got this inward caring of the world, that's a threat. We've got this outside persecution and tribulation coming upon us, that's a threat. Both of these have a very adverse effect on our walk with God. We've got to beware. Paul said beware, beware, because these things from the world are going to try to come in against you, right? And they're going to try to either cause you to not bear fruit, or they're going to try to choke out what does begin to grow. So we got two things to be concerned about. One is the thorns. And that's not what I really want to talk to you about tonight, but we do have to beware of the thorns. Don't get wrapped up in this world. But the other is the detachment. It's where because roots do two things. Roots provide and produce stability. A tree stands because, not because of the branches, not because of the trunk. The tree stands and remains because of what? The roots. If there are no roots and the roots can't sustain it, the wind comes along, trees blow over. All right, so the first thing that roots do is provide and produce stability. Paul's reference here to being rooted and grounded is talking about, part of it is being stable, being established. We've got to have roots. The other thing that roots do is provide the nutrients from the soil to travel up into the trunk or into the branches, into the vine, and then to begin to produce what is needed for fruit to appear. Stability and fruitfulness. These are the products of being rooted. We talk a lot about fruit, but roots tend to be underemphasized. And if we don't have proper roots, we will not survive. Folks, I'm telling you, we won't make it to the rapture if we're not rooted. We're not going to make it, because there are evil men, and seducers are waxing worse and worse the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. This thing that Paul talked about, these people that are going to come and they're going to try to sway you away with their philosophies, their vain deceits, and their traditions of men after the rudiments of this world, you won't survive those threats if you don't have roots. Amen. Now, let me talk to you about becoming rooted, forming roots. There's a lot to be said there. There really is. But we have a responsibility. I have a responsibility in my becoming rooted. We don't become rooted just because we were planted. We don't become rooted just because we've got somebody preaching the word of God into our life. We bear a responsibility in our own experience of becoming rooted and grounded. What is my responsibility? What is your responsibility? Well, first of all, nothing's going to produce roots if it doesn't stay put. If you plant that seed and dig it up every day and plant it somewhere else, you wasted that seed, because it never has a chance to put down roots. This is what Jesus said. He said, here come the tribulations and the persecutions, and because of that, the seed, he uses an interesting word, becomes offended. And it gets a little bit of a attitude, perhaps, and it says, I don't like this. I don't like this tribulation. I don't like this persecution. I don't like this soil. So in our becoming rooted, we have a responsibility of staying put. Now, I'm not just talking about a church. I hope you understand that right now. I'm talking about getting rooted and grounded in the doctrine, in the Word of God, getting rooted and grounded in our personal walk with God. There's some things that we need to do it every single day. Amen. We need to have a prayer time daily. This is part of staying put. And we've got to make up our mind. Anybody remember that old song we used to sing, an old song that said, I shall not be moved, right? I don't know if I sang it right or not, but it's been a long time. But the idea was I'm going to be planted just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. What's the idea there? We can't hop up and run every time things get tough. Every time there's a persecution or a tribulation, we're going to try some other soil. So we've got to learn, get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Every single day, have a time, even if your schedule gets away from you, you at least need to have a few minutes where it's just you and Jesus. How often? Every day. Pray without ceasing. Talk to Jesus every day. Amen. Jesus, when he taught us how to pray, part of that prayer was, give us this day our daily bread. So if we're praying for daily bread, I think there's an indication there that we need to be showing up every day. So every day. There's just certain things that we have to do every day. Prayer is one of the main things. You will never become rooted if you don't pray every day. You say, Brother Hawkins, you mean if we skip a day, we're going to be plucked up? Not at all. It needs to be a part of your routine. Obviously, there's going to be times. We're getting ready to leave tomorrow for a vacation, and I'll tell you, it messes up my whole routine. My whole prayer routine, my study routine, all that stuff gets messed up. That's why when I get home, I'm so carnal, you can't hardly stand me when I get... No, I'm kidding about that. But I have to find a place. When we get down there to that house with all of our kids and grandkids, you ask them, I find a place. This is my spot. This is my area where I have to have a little time to myself every single day. I don't know what the rest of them are doing. I think they're just worldly the whole time we're gone. But I try to pray every day. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Am I going to be able to maintain that like I do every single day that I'm home? No, it's different, but I got to find a time to talk to Jesus. It might be outside, it might be walking on the beach, whatever, but we're going to talk every day. There needs to be a daily time where you read your word, whether it's a verse or two or a chapter or two or whatever your reading is, but every single day you need to be in the Word. I'm talking to you about how to be rooted. And if we're just, you know, jumping around all the time, we have no discipline. No, you know what I'm talking about, just regiments in our life that say, you know what, no, every day I talk to the Lord, every day I read my Bible. If I don't get to watch something, that's fine, I won't watch it, but I'm going to read my Bible. There needs to be Wednesday nights and Sundays. Part of our routine needs to be the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, when I come to church, I usually drive from west of here, and just about a 3-minute drive from the addition we live in. I just drive on over, and I don't hardly see any other cars. But tonight, I went over to see Sister Yates before I came here and opened up the building. Then I went over to pray for her, and on my way back, I was in all this traffic, really. You can't call Ellisville traffic, but there was cars. And I saw this big old van pull up beside me, and then I got in front of it, and it was behind me. I thought, I think that's the Ball family. It was about 5 or 10 after 7. It was, wasn't it? Yeah. Unless there's another. Anybody else drive a big van here tonight? And it was the Ball family. Saw some other people pulling in the parking lot, and it's just a blessing to see other people who make Wednesday nights, amen, a matter of this is what we do. By the way, not just what we do, but it's who we are. It's who we are. This is what produces roots. It's when it becomes who we are. Amen. Daily prayer, daily reading the Bible, faithfulness to the house of God, worshiping the Lord every single day. All of the different things that we do in our worship, this produces roots. Our offerings, our worship, our praise, our service in the kingdom of God, doing something in your local assembly. These are all things that cause you to put down roots. Amen. And you know what? There's something to be said for how shall I say this? If you have served the Lord any time at all, you've probably been offended by somebody. You've probably had your feelings hurt. Some of you may have gotten downright mad at somebody. You want to know the best thing you can do when that happens, whether it's the pastor or whether it's a brother or sister in the church or whether it's your husband or wife. Best thing you can do is pray. Let's say somebody hurts your feelings tonight. It's Wednesday night, and as you're walking out, or maybe you're pulling out of the parking lot out there, and somebody does something that hurts your feelings. Best thing you can do Sunday at 10 o'clock, you get right on back. Because if every time, this is just the reality, we're all human beings, and we're all trying to get to heaven, come on, and ain't a perfect one among us. I hope I didn't just bust anybody's bubble there, but we're none of us perfect. And so there's times where we catch each other at the wrong time, whatever. We may not act right, respond right. Now, that shouldn't be the norm, but it happens sometimes. And so the best thing we can do, if I stopped going to Turning Point every time I got my feelings hurt, y'all had been through 20 pastors already. I just keep coming back. Amen. And most of the time, it was me. It wasn't you anyway. And we make things right. You know what happens when you do that? It's just like every time that little sapling out there, the wind blows against it. You know what happens? That wind blows, and it does something beneath the soil. It causes those roots to dig deeper. I told you here some time back about that experiment they did in the big old dome where they were trying to grow all this natural stuff, and the trees had no roots, and they discovered the trees had no roots because there was no wind resistance in there. There was no wind, so the trees didn't have to produce roots because there was nothing to resist against. So when there's no roots, it also stops pulling up nutrients out of the ground, so they're going to die and fall over on their own. So we need that wind. Every once in a while, we need something to come and I know this doesn't sound like good teaching on Wednesday night, but we need something to kind of rub us the wrong way sometimes. We need something to rattle us every once in a while. I know some of you are thinking right now, oh, I know who God uses. I know who has that gift of the Spirit. Well, bless their hearts next time. Amen. Maybe God's using them. Get you some roots. When that happens next time, just say, thank you for helping me get some roots. No, don't say that to them. I'm kidding. But you can tell the Lord, Lord, thank you. I'm gonna dig deeper here. So you keep showing up. You don't find another church because somebody hurt your feelings. Amen. Same way with marriage. How does a marriage get stronger? You don't run off first time you have a little spat. You don't find somebody else first time you have an argument. Or I should rephrase that. You don't find somebody else the third time you have an argument either. Somebody's going to grab that one. He just said the first time. He didn't say anything about the second time. Look at John 15 real quickly. This is Jesus saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, get attached, stay attached. That's the theme here. He says, here it is. He says, everybody that bears fruit, he purges it. If it doesn't bear fruit, no, takes it away. But where there's fruit, he purges it. Now watch this. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Here we go. Watch this. This theme that is just resounding through this whole portion of Scripture. Abide. Everybody say abide. That means stay. Jesus says, stay, abide in me, and I in you. Now Jesus isn't going anywhere. If we stick around, he's going to keep sticking around. So he says, abide in me, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Three abides in one verse. He's not done yet. He says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You see why I say we can't emphasize the fruit and never inspect the root. I'm going to tell you, if you get this root thing right, the fruit will just come automatically. And I don't know if you're like me, but for a long time I used to pray, oh God, help me to be fruitful. Help me, Lord, give me fruit. Lord, help me to bear fruit. I want to be, Lord, your word says I need, and I just missed the whole root concept. What I need, and the Lord finally showed me, if you'll take care of the root, I'll take care of the fruit. You abide, you dig down, you stay, you pray, you show up. Come on now. And the roots come, and he says, if you take care of the root, I'll always take it, because you can't produce fruit. But you can dig down and you can hang on and you can abide in him. He says, and anybody that does is going to, he's going to produce fruit. Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you, here we go again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Let me just tell you here, read it again on your own later, because I'm going to let you go here in a second, but read it again on your own later and tell me what's emphasized here more, the abiding or the trying to produce fruit. The abiding is there. The attachment is there. The root system is there. And he just says, if you do that, you'll bear much fruit. You don't have to ask somebody, oh, please, Pastor, pray that I bear more fruit. Please pray that I'm more fruitful. Because I'm, you know me well enough. Y'all know me. Don't come rolling up on me with that, because I'm going to say, how's your root system doing? Amen. Let's talk about your root system. Ain't seen you at church for a while. How's your prayer life? Because there's just certain things, if we're doing it, fruit will appear. Amen. So if you've got a fruit tree and it's not bearing fruit, you don't go out there looking at the branches and the ends of the branches. You, if you start looking, you're going to look down into the soil. And you're going to find out why. You may have to do a little digging. What's going on? Is there something in the tree that's causing it not to bear fruit? Is there something in the roots? Anybody ever have moles in your yard? Man, they'll mess up everything. Now, let me end with this. I don't have moles where I live now, but where I used to live, whew, I felt like one of those cartoons sometimes out there fighting moles. I was ready to get a shotgun and shoot at them one day, but it's against the law where I lived. Go to Song of Solomon. You can just read it on the screen, and I'll be finished here. Chapter 2, verse 15. Now look at this. This is the Song of Solomon says, take us, now that means catch. Catch the little foxes. Deal with them. Okay? Catch the foxes. Now here's some specificity beyond just foxes. He says, oh, the little foxes. Because they are the ones that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Let me unpack this for you. The big foxes, the taller foxes, the older foxes, can reach the grapes. That's really what they want, is the grapes. They want the fruit. They'll eat the fruit. The taller foxes will eat the fruit, and they're satisfied. They're done. The little foxes come. They can't reach the fruit. So what they do, they gnaw at the bottom portion of the plant, down near the roots. The vine. They spoil, they ruin the vine system. Not intentionally, mind you. They really want the grapes because they're sweet. But if they can't reach the grapes, they'll just settle for, they'll just, now this is the risk that we're at here, folks. I don't think any of us are high risk that tomorrow we're going to decide to go out and just go run out on some week. For instance, we're getting ready to go to Florida for spring break. I hope you understand you don't have to worry about your pastor and his wife showing up on the news that we're running around on the beach, getting drunk and causing trouble and shooting up the town, right? You wouldn't expect that and I wouldn't expect that of you. And I don't think that's the risk that any of us are at. If we fail, it's not going to be in that regard. You want to know where we get caught? It's just little things that gnaw. They gnaw at us. Just little, constant little foxes gnawing away at the vine. Gnawing away, almost unnoticeable. It's just a little bitty gnaw here. And I'm not so sure. Is that some gnaw marks there? I don't know. Well, maybe, maybe not. We won't worry about it right now. And before you know it, it just takes that one more little session of the foxes, little foxes, gnawing away at the root system. And if the root system is destroyed, you're detached from. And this is where we are. We have to, as Paul said, I can't say it better. There's not a better word. Just, he says, beware. Beware these little foxes, these little conversations we have with people perhaps that are that would spoil us through philosophy. You young people, listen to me, especially when you start heading off to college and you start listening to these college professors and their philosophies. I see this. Some of our young people, they've been raised in the church, but what we've got to do, we've got to get them rooted in the church. Even then, I have a real issue with us throwing them out there to some of those universities. But oh God, help us if they've not gotten rooted, if they don't know why do we believe that we should be baptized in Jesus' name? You should be able to articulate that. Why do we believe? Why do we believe that there's a heaven and a hell? You should be able to articulate that. Why do we live? Why do we have the lifestyle choices that we have? Why do we men dress this way and you ladies dress this way and we don't do some things and we do some other things? And if the only reason you can answer is, well, that's what our pastor teaches, or that's what my mom and dad's always required of us, you're getting ready to be chewed up and spat out by the philosophies of this world, vain deceits, and the tradition of men. The rudiments of this world will destroy you if you don't have a root system. Amen. That's why here at Turning Point Apostolic Church, we don't wait till they're going off to college to try to teach them. That's why you as parents, you don't wait till they're getting ready to go off to college. I'll tell you, I have seen different styles of parenting through the ages. I don't understand these parents. They're in the church, the parents. They believe in God. They believe in the Holy Ghost. They believe everything we teach. But their kids come if they want to. Stay home if they want to. What are you thinking? So we don't wait till they're, well, when they get old enough to make up their own mind, that's not Bible. You better understand God's given you these little seedlings, these little seeds, and you are responsible for helping them get planted. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Now, you may not sit down with the King James Bible and try to read 10 chapters to them every night. Get them a children's Bible. Get them something geared for their age. Talk to our children's pastor and find out what they would recommend for your children. But every day, get into the Word with them. Teach them. And then these little gals over here, they have inquisitive minds. They want to know, man. We took Lennox and Lyndon and Wrigley on a little trip last year, and Nana went into Kroger's for a 15-minute trip, and I sat in the car and fielded deep theological questions with my grandchildren. I mean, they were just throwing them at me from every which way. You mean, we're talking about things like end time and the rapture. Well, what happens after the rapture? You're going to be people here after the rapture? Well, what if you don't make it in the rapture? Well, what about the people that are they going to go to hell? And you know, I'm sitting here like, oh, I didn't see, I'm on vacation, guys, you know. But we had a good conversation. These children, they have minds that are open to learning. Don't throw them to the side. We'll let them decide one of these days. If you wait till they're this age, they've already got their minds made up. Because the philosophers of this world, the vain deceit of this world, the traditions of this world. They're pulling them in. They're going to plant them somewhere. How we doing? So that's why here at Turning Point, we teach them at this age. You see these kids sitting up here? Look at that. You don't see that. I'm not just throwing mud at anybody else, but you don't see that everywhere. I'm proud of them. And our young people sitting up here, man, they're up here. They take notes. They soak it in. They pay attention. If somebody doesn't pay attention, it's the exception. It's not the rule. I mean, it stands out so much if it does happen, and I don't know the last time it happened. I'm not. Everybody's looking at me like, is it I? No. I'm just saying, when it does happen, it stands out because it's such a rarity that our young people, they don't act up. They're paying attention. They're up here worshiping. They're praying. You know what's going on? They're getting roots. Let's stand together. Amen. Thank God. I want to be rooted. I want to be grounded. I want to be established. Amen. So dig in and stay. Stay in the Word, stay in prayer, stay in faithfulness to the house of God. You know what to do in the Word. Keep on doing it. Amen. Don't let offenses, don't let tribulation, don't let anything cause you to be driven away. And you'll be rooted and you'll be grounded. And don't let those little foxes spoil the vine. You got to beware of those things. Amen. Lord Jesus, I love you and I thank you for this precious church, these wonderful people. Oh God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, in this day when there's so much wind, so much confusion in this world, Lord, that we will be rooted and grounded in your word and in you. I pray that over our children, our young people, and every saint of God in this church. And Lord, we're in this. We're planted. We shall not be moved in the name of Jesus, just like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. If that's your prayer, somebody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Please pray for us. We'll be gone for the next two Sundays, okay? But we'll be back after that. If you have any needs, please reach out to your care minister. If there's an emergency or you can't reach a care minister, please reach out to Brother Gunderman, and he'll be in contact with me if you need to get a hold of me. But God bless you, and I know some of the rest of you are taking little trips too. I pray for your safety. Hope you come back relaxed, and the rest of you, hold the fort. Amen. God bless you.